You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I'm disappointed by the government these days. Sometimes they just need a good kick in the backside.
The Wire.
The University of Auckland has announced a hiring freeze over financial losses caused by a travel ban by the government in response to the coronavirus outbreak. The government has said previously it will not allow any exemption for international students. In an email to university staff last Friday, Vice Chancellor Stuart McCutcheon said about 2,000 Chinese students are unable to return for the start of this current semester, and it is far from clear when they will be permitted to enter the country. McCutcheon also said in the email the ban has a significant impact on the university's revenues, with over $30 million of revenue at risk in the first semester, which is equivalent to the entire operating surplus that the university are required by the government to make this year. The email finished by saying because main expenditure of the university is on staff, a hiring freeze will be implemented to cut expenditure. And yesterday, Victoria University's Vice Chancellor Grant Guildford warned it is considering staff layoffs to also cut expenditure. And out of light of all of this, I spoke to Michael Gilchrist, the national president of the tertiary union, about this, and I first asked about his thoughts on the university's decision.
Well, we accept that there will be significant losses for tertiary institutions due to the travel ban on Chinese students, but it's not good enough to start talking immediately about recovering those losses from staff. And I think the public can see that this is the kind of situation we constantly face, that staff are held responsible for everything, all of the costs, all of the work, and these institutions, especially like Auckland University, have significant buffers. They have reserves that they can use to buffer these shocks. They also need to start talking nationally in a coordinated fashion with other institutions and with the government about ways of offsetting these losses.
Is the union going to do anything regarding about this hiring freeze?
Well, there's not much we can do directly. We should, I should say also at Victoria University, they're already talking about staff cuts. And as I say, drawing a straight line from these losses to staff cuts is totally unacceptable. But we are working very hard to try and get a national meeting of all the interested parties, so that we can have a properly coordinated and coherent response rather than taking it out on staff in the first instance.
But for current university staff, is the hiring freeze going to affect them?
Well, many staff are already doing extra work at the moment in order to try and deal with the situation. There's a lot of work that's been going in both sort of administrative and professional roles, as well as amongst academics, to try and address the situation and ease the way for Chinese students, for example, those who might be quarantined or in some cases trying to find ways to run courses online that haven't previously been run online, so that that situation can be addressed. So, yeah, I mean, they are already doing more work and a hiring freeze can affect them. But I guess in the case of Auckland University, the point has been made that the government can relax its requirements for the university to show a surplus, for example. There are a lot of ways in which this can be addressed other than through staff cuts.
Speaking of the government, do the unions think the travel restrictions currently imposed on mainland China and Iran should be relaxed for students?
We don't comment on the public health and medical issues. We think those have to be dealt with by the experts in that area. What we do think is that there needs to be recognition of the impact, and we believe the government is making moves in that direction, but that requires institutions to come to the party as well. I think we all need to start saying that we need to talk together and try and work out a coherent strategy.
You mentioned earlier that universities, even they are predicting losses this year because of the coronavirus, they shouldn't resort to staff to to balance the books. So apart from that, what can the university do?
Well, as I say, I think government can relax some of its requirements. That is requirements that the universities and other institutions hit their targets in terms of their projected enrolments. Also, the requirement to show, say, a 3% surplus. This was alluded to by Stuart McCutcheon. The projected losses for Auckland University are about equivalent to the required surplus. Actually, Auckland University makes significantly more than the required surplus, or it did in 2018. But there are other ways, that the government and institutions can work to offset these shocks and to ensure that they are in good shape to bring in Chinese students when that becomes possible again for health reasons.
Does this situation show that New Zealand universities are relying too much on international fees for funding?
Look, it does. But what's been happening is that funding for tertiary institutions in real terms has been dropping. It's been very hard to grow domestic student numbers, and so institutions have been forced to make up that drop in funding through finding other sources of revenue, and international students have been the way that they've been able to do that. So there are a number of factors that have gone into this over-reliance on international students.
What sort of factors are these?
There have been drops in real funding for tertiary institutions. The funding that the government provides hasn't kept up with the real costs. And as I say, domestic students have been hard to grow. At the moment, we're in a wee bit of a demographic dip in terms of school leavers. And so growing the numbers of international students has been the only way many institutions have been able to improve their income and make up for growing costs.
And how should universities be funded apart from relying on international fees?
The government funding needs to recognise the real costs of running a genuine world-class tertiary education system. So that can involve capital costs, increasing operational costs, and indeed increases in staff pay that recognise the kind of expertise that they are bringing and the increasing demand that they be highly credentialed, research productive, that they bring a lot of professional skills and so on. And so all kinds of costs have been rising for tertiary institutions. The real funding from government has not been rising and has not been keeping up with those rising costs.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.